All right, thank you for being here and being in your place tonight, and thank you, appreciate it. And Thursday night, I enjoy Thursday nights, and thank you for coming tonight. I hope they're passing out the notes for tonight, and ladies, as he mentioned, as it's coming up, I hope that you can get some time off and go to the ladies' conference. It's always a refreshing and encouraging time, especially if you've never been. You will really enjoy that. Starts on a Thursday night, so really all you have to do is miss Friday at work. If you work, you can go after work on Thursday. It would be a great, great, great time for you. We're looking forward to great services this Sunday. And I believe our Easter invitations were at about 70% done. Okay? Now, that's not counting the ones that you have in your purse. Ladies, not men. And probably you have some. I have some on my desk in my office. And so I'll make sure those get out. So let's make sure we get all of those out. Invite somebody to be with you. Easter's going to be a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous time. I'm super excited about it. It has meaning to me. I got saved on an Easter Sunday when someone invited me to church, and so I love Easter Sunday. We are in the book of Proverbs, and we did a study several years ago for a long time through Proverbs. Didn't even hit half the subjects I wanted to hit, and we moved on. This is something completely different, this series. As I was reading through Proverbs a while ago, I noticed verses as I was reading through it that where God's telling us to avoid some things. And so just as I was doing my Bible reading, I just made notes of these different subjects and I wrote them down. And then a couple years later, I started looking at that. Like, that would be a good series for a Thursday night. And so we're looking at the wisdom of avoidance. We understand Proverbs is a book that deals with wisdom. It talks about wanting us to be wise individuals, and we understand wisdom is the ability to take God's truth and to apply it to my life, to take God's truth and live it in my life. It has nothing to do with understanding. You could have the whole Bible memorized, but if you're not living it, you're not doing it, you're not wise. Okay? Now, that would help you down that road. You would have knowledge, and hopefully you start to get understanding, and then you put those into practice in your life. We talked about the three individuals pertaining to wisdom that Proverbs talks about. The wise man, the one who seeks to find and live God's principles. The foolish man, who defies and ignores God's principle. And the simple man, who just doesn't know God's principles. And when it comes to avoidance, the wise man wants to learn God's truth, partially too, so he knows what God wants him to avoid. And so the foolish man, he doesn't just ignore God's word, he embraces that which God tells him not to partake of. And the simple just doesn't know. He can go either way. He doesn't know what to avoid. So far, we've looked at sinful people we are to avoid. And specific paths, the way we live our life that we are to avoid. Last week and the week before, we talked about avoiding stern punishments, having a proper understanding of the way that God brings chastisement into our life. The Bible says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. When God brings things into our life, he's bringing it for the reason of us learning some things so we don't travel down the wrong path. And so we did that. We're going to start a new point tonight. We won't finish. I'm sure of that. One thing we want to avoid is slackening protections. Slackening protections. We'll look more at depth in this in a little bit, but we could just start here with Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We know that verse very well. I think there was a song written, Brother Grandy, Guard Your Heart. That's from this verse. Didn't you write an alternate verse for that? Okay, yeah, you need to sing that sometime again. I just remember you were singing it in chapel years ago, and I'm like, I've never heard that verse before, and I'm like, you know, are you just like the Spirit speaking to you when you're singing? He's like, no, I wrote that verse, and so, but that's what that means. The word keep means to protect or to guard, okay? We should not avoid that. Now, we're going to get into that verse and the verse after it in a minute, but that's vitally important. Avoidance, or you can say separation, is for the purpose of building walls of protection in our lives from which from that which would cause us to be sinful or would damage our spirituality. Some things are just flat out sinful and we should avoid them. Some things don't take us to there, but they lead us on that path. And as we are heading down that path, it's damaging our spiritual life, which damages our relationship with God. That's why we put these protections into place. Now, let me say this. When we talk about protection, I want you to understand this. And some of this stuff we're saying, if you're a newer Christian, it might be a little rough, not rough, but a little bit like, wow. But I'm trying to explain it, okay? That's why we're thoroughly explaining this. I want you to get it. This isn't just a preacher talk, getting up, being rough. There's a reason why we believe and do some of the things that we do, or we don't do some of the things that others may do. It's all about guarding and protection. But let me say this. Protection is not the target, okay? It is the path to the target. I've met people, and I'm sure you have, and they almost make, and I'm not slamming protections, that's what we're talking about, but they almost make having these protections or these standards or these principles in their life, they almost make that, and it's almost like that's the goal. How many know what I'm talking about? That's not the goal. That allows us to get to the goal. How many understand what I'm talking about? And these things, and that's what we're accused of, by the way. Oh, you do that because you think you're better than us and you're just trying to be sure. No, we're not. We're trying to build protections in our life. We're trying to make sure that we're not slack in areas that would be very damaging if we allowed ourselves down those paths. That's why we need them. In your little sheet there. The protection, as I mentioned, is not the target, but just put the protection is not the goal. Okay? The walls are not the goal. The goal is to be holy. That's the goal. See, someone that they, particularly if you live in an area that maybe is more crime-ridden, they have thicker walls around there, right? We go soul winning in certain places. And they have a lot more fences. How many know what I'm talking about? And they have a lot more dogs. Right? We walk by, we see a dog, and it's like, we'll let the Jehovah's Witnesses get this one. When we were starting the church in Monterey Park, a bunch of us, our family, would always go out soul winning there to pass. And I went with my daughter Jessica. We were in one of those blocks, and there was some that had fences and some that didn't. And the houses were really set back far off of the curb. And so we're walking down the street and there's a house, a couple houses down, and their dog was loose, I thought. And he came running down the porch and I'm like, Jessica, quick. We were running, like, get on that car. Well, what I didn't realize, that house actually did have a fence. I didn't realize until I was halfway up the hood of someone's car, like, and then I'm looking around like, now that's embarrassing. I was running for no apparent reason, right? But when someone puts that fence up around their house, their goal isn't, hey, this fence is beautiful. They try to make it beautiful. The goal isn't to have a fence. It's partially for protection. You have small children. You don't want them running out into the street if they're playing in the front yard and so forth. The goal isn't the wall. A lot of times, the goal is for what the wall represents. It helps us to be holy. If we don't guard or block off some things which are wrong in our lives or that lead us to wrong, we're never going to be holy. And that's the goal. Well, you know, I'm doing okay. I have this protection in my life. No, you're going to be okay if you allow that protection to help you to be holy. And if you're not, if you put up a protection and you're not walking with God, you're eventually going to struggle. And that protection is going to be ripped down. Because you're going to forget what it's like, what it's for, or someone's going to chirp in your ear and you don't have enough spiritual common sense to figure that out. It also is, the goal is to be spiritual. Do you understand? If we allow certain things in our life, which God is against, it is going to affect our relationship with God. That's what we're trying to be careful about. I want to be right with my God. And there's certain things I cannot do and be right with my God. I understand we all sin, we get forgotten. You know what I'm talking about. And so that is, is what we're trying to get to, not just have a protection for the sake of protection, as we are accused of, by the way. The protection, next little point there, is the guardian. Keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence. That's literally what the word means. So what does that mean? It allows us to reach that goal of holiness. You know, certain things you can't achieve in life if you allow other things in your life. You know, you're not going to be a, you're not going to you know, have a marriage where you're together and faithful to each other for years if you're allowing yourself into areas that are going to tempt you to be unfaithful. Watching things and listening things and going places. But it helps us to get there. It also allows us to retain the goal that we have of being spiritual. This nonsense, well, it's just my relationship with God. That's all that's important. Everything else just falls into place. No, it doesn't. You have responsibility with that. Come on. You've got to guard. Look, just because, well, I got married, so my marriage is just going to be wonderful because we're married. What are you, okay, everybody that's married laughs, right? It doesn't just happen, right? I've been married for, how many years have you been married, hon? Me too. Right? 38 years we've been, I knew that, by the way, and you know that I knew that. I was just trying to keep you awake. You know, that doesn't, she's great, but it doesn't happen on accident. Right? We do things to make sure that our marriage is strong and that our relationship is strong. We have to. And we've put guardrails in our place from early on to make sure that we don't veer off. That's true of everything in life. And it is true of spirituality. We need protections. There are some who shun protections. Well, it's not about relation. It's all about relationship. That's part of the relationship. Okay? And I'm using a marriage a lot because it just seems to apply very well. And by the way, God applies that to his relationship with his people. That's why when we're unfaithful to him, you know what he compares it to? He compares it to adultery. Because it's a relation. It's a close relationship. But it's about the relationship. But how do you have that relate? You put guardrails in. Well, what does it say? And I should know the vowels. I use them several times every year. But, you know, and forsaking all others, keep me only unto him or her. So long as you both shall live. Okay? It's a guardrail. That's what, I'm not going to do that. Well, you know, they don't make you spiritual. I know. But can it, when someone says that, say, does not having protections make you spiritual? No, it doesn't. But it's going to put you in a better position to be spiritual. It's erroneous to think, I think you have this on your sheet, it is erroneous to think that that we can associate with that which is wrong and still think we can achieve that which is right. Can't. Nobody can. We use the term, right, with someone that maybe has been serving the Lord for a while and something happens and they get away from God or they get caught up in something that's horrific, and we'll use this term, right? They fell into sin. No one falls into sin. You don't trip. You know, one day, you know, you've been reading your Bible every day for 27 years, your soul win, you love Jesus, you worship, you all these things, and then one day, oops, I committed immorality. It doesn't happen like that.
Yep. Amen.
See, it's you slowly go into that. You start to take those guardrails off. You start to take those protections, those principles, those standards you had. You start to lessen those, and now you're freer to get off into some areas which are going to push you towards that. And the farther you allow yourself to get off into that area, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. I'd rather stay as far away from it as I can.
Yep.
You know, I got to deal with this. There is this inaccurate philosophy. I had a guy in our church that told us this one time, and he didn't do very well. Here's this inaccurate philosophy. How can our young people stand in the world if they're not around the world? How many ever heard a form of that? Brother Pineda knows. We had someone preach here a long time ago. And he didn't have a Christian school. He was against Christian schools. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Our kids need to be in their public schools and be a light. They're not ready. They're not, and this was, Brother Pineda, probably 15, 20 years ago. Have our schools gotten better or worse in the last 15 or 20 years? They're not strong enough yet. Well, you know, Joseph's illustration from kindergarten graduation a few years ago. Well, you know, they're going to have to learn how to drive a car someday. Here, cowboy, go. Take the keys. Levi. How old's Levi? He can't even ride a bike. I'm not going to let him drive my car. Okay? They're not ready. But by the way, they're ready to transition, but that's something for another day. The younger and less mature a person is, the more they need protections. Come on, let's just think this through. See, if we believe this philosophy, it makes us weak in education. We'll send our kids off to be educated in places that are just flat out anti-God. Right? Antichrist, let's call it that. Well, that's a person. That's a spirit too. Go ahead. Send your kids. And when they come, when your little son comes home in a dress, it's on you. When your daughter thinks she's a boy, that's on you. Come on, kids say crazy things. I already mentioned it. They want to be monster trucks and all kinds of nonsense. Okay? Raul does. He told me he wants to be a monster truck. I'm like, you don't even have wheels, brother. Look, it's funny. You can't get a tattoo until you're what? Yeah, they wouldn't let me get, I could get one. I'm old enough now. 21? 18. You can't vote until you're, they ought to lift that up to 35. Everybody's a liberal when they're young, and then once they start paying taxes, it's like, hey, hold on, time out. You know, you can't drink till you're 21. Sorry, kids. You can't smoke until you're 18, 21. So I threw 24, 25. Anybody got 25? Okay. Work with me here. But they want to transition kids at 5. Come on. Amen. No, we're not, and let me just, because you're going to hear it all the time, and so someone's got to say it, right? Well, you know, we're not transitioning them. We're giving them puberty blockers. You need to know the facts. We're giving them puberty blockers that keep them from going through puberty. Now, by the way, that's a lie. They will actually, once they're in their teenage years, young teenagers, they'll surgery them. But we're giving them puberty blockers. But then if they change their mind and want to be what they are, they're reversible. Can I just tell you something? That is a lie. Now, let's be grown-ups here. We're kids. I'll be careful. But you know what they used to give rapists as a punishment? The puberty blocker drug. And adults figure out why. Chemical castration, that's it. And they're going to give it to your kids and lie to you and say it's reversible. It's not. Okay? But yet, we'll send them to that ideology. It makes us weak with our kids when we send them to work. And I'm all for kids working. But we better be careful about sending them out in the world to work if they're not ready. Okay? There's influence. We're weak with their peers. We're not careful with who they hang out with. By the way, do you know sometimes kids aren't bad, but sometimes you get the wrong group together, they're not bad. But if they're not, you know, mature yet, they're going to find something dumb to do. How many know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, when our boys were in school, it's like, hey, I'm not saying you're bad, I'm not saying they're bad, but you boys together without an older student, you're going to do something dumb, so don't hang out alone together, okay? I'm not saying people are bad, I'm just saying, because I was a kid, I know what we did in those days. We're weak with technology. You throw a cell phone at your child, and I don't get on it as often as I should, because there's other things in the Bible, but come on now. I'm not even sure if we should be on our cell phones. Kids are, you know, my kid's not as savvy. He knows more than, he can probably hack into the IRS and get your taxes off. Okay, and you think he's okay to use a phone. It's like, let's be very careful. Well, they got to learn how to do it. I know, but they're not strong enough right now. We're weak with entertainment. By the way, you better watch it. You can't watch commercials, and you shouldn't, but don't watch commercials. I just saw another one. I mean, it's over and over. It's a children's soap. I think it's Avena. Is Avena a children's soap? Avena? I don't know. Anyway, I don't bathe the kids, so I don't know. I'm just like, here, use dish soap, man. It works on the dishes. You know, how about some degreaser? I've seen the kid outside. He needs some degreaser and a little bit of sand. How many remember, this has nothing to do with me. How many of you remember Lava? It was a soap that was supposed to mimic lava. It literally took layers of skin off your hand. How many remember that? I'm shedding. But anyhow, Avena has a commercial showing a little boy in the bathtub using their product, and when he gets out, he's in a multicolored dress. What are we doing here? So we got to be very careful. See, what happens is, and I don't want to get off, but I am, so pray for me. What happens is, while we're ignorant about it, the world's like, that's okay, we'll feed your kids. We got this. And they're going to keep throwing it at you. So be very, very careful. Remember, switching gears, that although we are not to be of this world, we do have to live in this world. We're missionaries. We're ambassadors. We're pilgrims. And so this is not our home per se. If we are to successfully live spiritually, that doesn't sound grammatically correct, but run with it. If we are to successfully live spiritually in this world, it demands that we are careful. Anything that you achieve, you just mark it down. Anything that we achieve, whether spiritually, whether a business, you name it, it doesn't happen on accident. It requires, demands that we follow certain things and we're prepared for it. Okay? And the same is true spiritually. Listen, because people will blame church. Oh, that's why they're not spiritual. Okay, let's work. If someone is not standing for Christ, it is not because they were kept from the world. Well, you know, you should have just let the kids go out in the world and now the world just slapped them upside the head. No. It's because they were dabbling in the world and eventually went into the world. Okay? That's it. Well, they all of a sudden got this freedom and they took off. No, there were some leaks that caused them to look towards the world. And now they're old enough and they're just going to head towards it. The reason 90 or probably 95% of Christian people raised in a Christian church, that's of every brand, leave church as soon as they graduate from high school, it's because most of them never went to a Christian school. Most of them were raised in churches where anything goes as long as you show up on Sunday and you sing little songs, a little praise group, and clap your hands. And then you go off and do whatever you want the rest of the week. Do you know kids see through that hypocrisy? They do. And when we get a taste of the world, we look at the world and say, you know, the world does the world better than the church does the world. That's why if you listen to contemporary Christian music, you're going to listen to regular garbage music. Because you know why? They do it better. And by the way, these Christian ones who sing it, they listen to these ones over here. And by the way, let's just prove the point. And I do keep up with this. By the droves, they're leaving just to go back to the secular. Because they see the charade of it after a while too. But it's not because we kept them from the world. It's because they were allowed to dabble in the world. There are a lot of dangerous philosophies that try to spiritualize being tied to the world. Let me give you a couple and then we'll stop for tonight before we get into the rest of the verses. And this is more of an introduction towards it, so bear with me and forgive me. Here's one. How can we reach the world if we do not understand the world? Have you ever heard that? We gotta live where they live. We gotta know what they know. We can't build up walls that keep them out. No one's building up walls that keep them out. If someone's kept out of our church on Sunday morning, they probably couldn't find parking. Okay? That's why we park at Blue Line. Thank you. In a church sense, we justify it by saying we need to understand our culture and use our culture to reach this world. And I have heard this over and over. Well, Pastor, how are you going to understand what these people are going through? I already do. It's called sin.
Amen.
And by the way, you can't throw the wool over my eyes. That's how I grew up. I grew up single parent house, did whatever I want, kicked out of high school. I did whatever I want until I decided to get right with God after I got saved. Did whatever I wanted. And can I tell you something? When I went to church, I didn't want to have anything to do with what I was going on in my life before then. I wanted something completely different. So don't give me that. Okay? Well, you know, missionaries go to their country and they learn the culture so they can reach the people. Do you know what we mean by that? We mean you have to figure out the food they eat. You know, deep fried cockroaches, whatever it is. I'm not criticizing them because they probably laugh at us. We eat chickens. It's like it's easier to catch a bug. They eat whatever they want. What was it? One guy, we had one of the guys from the Philippines, one of the brothers, the two Lorena brothers. He's like, man, you guys spend so much money feeding your dogs. We eat ours. I'm like, you know, I had one that you could take. No. Just different culture. Different phrases that are used. Different way. You can say certain phrases in one culture, but in that culture, it may be offensive. Somebody went, I don't know if it was Haiti or something. I heard a pastor say he was preaching out of this country, and one of the little girls came up to him to thank him for the message, and he called her sweetheart, and the parent grabbed and took the child away quickly. And he's like, what was going on here? And he went and asked the pastor, and the pastor said, in our culture, the word sweetheart is what you call a prostitute. I heard an Australian guy, okay? He said he was holding a baby and the baby was crying. He was holding a baby and they had a teenage group on a missions trip and he was going to ask the teenage girl in the missions group if she wanted to hold the baby. Well, you know what the phrase is for that? He said, "Would you like to nurse the baby?" And she looked at him like, "Excuse me?" Cuz nursing means something different in our, so those type of things. When we say a missionary understands our culture, we're not talking about the sinful practices that they're doing so that we can reach them through those sinful practices. Because whether or not something is cultural doesn't make it right. I'm sorry. What was, I don't know who it was. I think it may have been William Carey in India, if I'm mistaken here. Where their practice was, if the husband died, they would put them on a, you know, like on a up on a thing, and they'd burn the husband's body. But if his wife was alive, they would tie her to him, and she would have to burn with him. Do you know that missionary, as he was there doing his missions work, he worked hard to get that banned, and he was successful eventually. Okay. He should have just said, oh, well, that's just the culture. And his wife's thinking, you better eat a lot of salads. That's an excuse. You know why we say that? Because we want to adopt those into our life. We don't do the culture for that.
No.
You know, I've heard people, I read an article years ago, a book, it's sacred cow. And by the way, when you hear terms like that, especially in our realms, someone's about to go liberal. And they're taking everything the church has believed, basically from Scripture, by the way, and no, that's just tradition. What's wrong with tradition? The Bible talks about tradition as long as the tradition is rooted in Scripture. And they throw all these things out. Well, you know, are the things we doing in our church cultural? Because cultural changes. I know culture changes. It's getting worse. Do you know, you look at pictures of Long Beach 100 years ago, the ladies at the beach, they're dressed more modestly than ladies who come to church on Sundays now.
Yeah.
How many know what I'm talking about? Well, that's just our cultural thing, and our culture's changed. We should go with it. No, we shouldn't, because God still talks about modesty and other things.
Yeah.
And then they'll apply it to music, and is it generational, you know? Our generation, and I get it, I'm a little older now. Just a little. And, you know, my generation did things a little different, and we look at the new generation like, whatever, but that doesn't make it scriptural. When someone says that, they're going to give you a lot of dumb illustrations, and they're trying to move you off of scriptural standards that are protective. And things aren't going to go very well. Yep. There's a guy, he was the president for a while, of the Southern Baptist Convention, probably about 10, 15 years ago. He was actually raised in a church like ours. But he decided he wanted to loosen things up. And so he got into Southern Baptist, and he kept going, and he kept going. Now, he and his church will defend homosexual marriage. He allows leaders in his church who are pro-choice. By the way, when they say pro-choice, what they mean is they want to kill babies. So let's just lay that one out there. He didn't get there from there. It was a slow process of breaking down the boundaries. So we have to be very, very careful. I'm of the belief that you reach the world with the gospel because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Well, how are we going to reach, you know, transgenders and all these stuff? We have to have something special for them. No, we don't. It's Romans 3:10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I needed that where I was at, and they need that. Why do we have to boil it down? It's like, anyhow. The reason we need to understand our world, and I don't think we need to immerse ourselves, but we better know what's going on, is not to conform to it, but so that we may combat it. And this belief is you break down all the walls and you make church just like everything in everyday life, and people will come in because, hey, this is just like everyday life. People want something different. I have found when people come to church, they expect a message from the Bible. I did. I went in, I'm like, it was not the music I was listening to. And you know what? I expected that. And I was okay with it. And I came to love it. Next, I got to really hurry. Got about 5 minutes. How can we reach sinners if we do not become friends with them? Right? Jesus was a friend of sinners. He went to their house and ate with them. That's good. Did you hear what he said to them? Told him the truth. In love. He didn't just say, hey, let's have a Super Bowl party. You know, let's just reach people. I know somebody did this. What we're going to do is, they already quit Sunday night church, but we're going to have a Super Bowl party, and I want each of you to watch the Super Bowl, and I want you to invite neighbors, people that don't come to church, to watch the Super Bowl with you, and we'll call it Super Bowl for Jesus. They didn't witness to him. They watched a football game. And you probably weren't happy if you were a 49ers fan. I was super happy because I hate the 49ers. I don't like the Chiefs either, but I like the 49ers less. Okay, listen, they're there to eat and watch the... People don't want to go somewhere. Come on. That's just a cute little thing so you don't have to go to church and you watch a Super Bowl. And we think the world's going to come running. I've never heard anybody say, I got saved because of the Super Bowl. Come on. But when it comes to being a friend of sinner, it's true in the sense that he went after them with the gospel. And he was friendly towards them. I'm not saying we'd be mean. You understand what I'm saying. But we don't make someone our compadre and hang out with them for 4 years and like, maybe after 4 years I can share the gospel. They may not have time to wait. Are you with me? They need it now. But what we've done is change that, and we want to be buddies with sinners. And go back to the very first lesson we taught. We have to avoid those who want to live sinful lifestyles. And it's just so cute. I heard someone one time, he gave an illustration about a missionary. He said this missionary was a missionary in a Buddhist country, and he worked so hard to befriend the Buddhist monks there. And when this man died, there was all of these Buddhist monks out of respect and out of his friendship that came to his funeral. And by the way, they were all still Buddhist monks and not one of them was saved. Yep. What was the purpose of being friendly to the Buddha? I'm not saying don't be friendly to the Buddhist monk. But what's the purpose? if we're friendly and we get to, and we do, we work with people, we have people we shop or you associate with, you get, and you develop a little rapport with them. If you care about them, what's the most caring thing you can do? Eventually, you got to get to God. I'm not saying the first time you get up, all right, sinners, read this, sinners in the hand of an angry God. Okay, you know, you're a spider dangling over the fires of hell. That's probably not going to work. But you develop that and you talk to them, that they know you're a Christian, and you try to share the gospel with them. And they may not get it the first time. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what our team in Cambodia has to do. They're going to get saved the first time. They have no foundation with God whatsoever. They have to develop friendships and get to know them. And it takes a long time to get them to understand the gospel because their country doesn't know it. But just to be a, look at our country, they know the gospel. It'd be rare, and they probably just came into our country, if you mentioned Jesus and they didn't know Jesus. But let's be very careful. Let me just say this last thing. One of the reasons we love to be friends of sinners is a lot of times because we love to do the things that they do. And by the way, if that happens, listen to me now, and I hope I didn't come across as mean-spirited. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. But if that happens, you know what the one thing will pull away from that relationship? The gospel. The very thing they need.
Yep.
Because we want to do the things that they do. How many of you understand what I'm saying about?
Yep.
I'm not saying we condemn them. I worked at a warehouse. It was five of us that worked on that shift overnight by ourselves. And these guys were pagans, and they knew I was a Christian. And I got to know them and all these different types of things. And they knew I was a Christian. I tried to share the gospel. They didn't all get saved, but eventually a couple of them got saved. Okay? But they kept me in check because they knew I was a Christian. And so I had to be very careful. But we developed a rapport and a relationship. And I cared about those guys. That's what we need to do. And so, as we get into this next week, understand we have to have the right mindset about it. In other words, we cannot see protections as something that is bad. Protections are something that are good. You give them to your children, okay, to do this and that, to make sure they don't get themselves, you know, they run out in the street or all these different things, you know, open up under the sink and drink the Drano or whatever. Well, spiritually speaking, we need the same thing. It's good for us. It's not bad. And it's a means to get to where God wants us to get to. And we'll pick it up next week. Let's stand together if we may. I hope you understood that. A lot of it was basically introduction to this. And we'll get more into the verses next week. So bear with me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us. And we thank you for these folks that were here tonight. And we pray that you would just help us as we seek to understand the protections that you have given us through the word of God. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to put these protections in our life so that we do guard our hearts. And Lord, that we don't allow things into our heart and we filter things and keep the bad things out so that the good can take root. Bless us now until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.